thank y'all so much for being here. Let's go ahead and just open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you so much for getting us here, for allowing us to be here, for a country where we're free to meet and open our Bibles and just be with you together. So, Father, I pray that you'll be with us as we study together. I pray that we won't miss anything that you have for us. And I just want to thank you ahead of time for everything that you have planned. Please magnify your word, glorify yourself, and cause us to fall more and more in love with you. We just praise you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Did everybody get their week 5 packet? I mean to do this ever. If you didn't get that, go ahead and grab one. Be sure you grab your lessons for the next week when you come by the table. So if you didn't get that, go ahead and grab one. We'll be discussing week 5 next week. Okay. Let's go ahead and look at our memory verse. Okay, and since the memory verses are up on the screen, we'll go ahead and just read those together. It's Exodus 15, 9 through 10. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Exodus 15, 9 through 10. Just to chew over that a little bit, it made me think of Satan. I mean, how delusional that he tried to overthrow the throne of God. And that even today, he knows he's defeated, but I tell you, it's almost like, does he think he has a chance? Because he's still just wreaking havoc and going crazy. And all I can think is with Pharaoh has, you know, there are pharaohs that have lived, pharaohs that lived like a normal pharaoh and died and was buried in a pyramid. They just lived like a pharaoh. This pharaoh has encountered the hand of God. He has seen signs and wonders. And what does he do when God opens the sea for his people? He thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll pursue them. I'll overtake them. I'll, draw my sword. I mean, delusional, and just runs right into a trap. And when it says, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them, I thought of how I think we've already studied. I know I've said I'm ahead, but the hand of God, and it's the open hand of God, the hand of power. And it's the hand of God that brought ruin to Egypt. And maybe that's it. Maybe Egypt was just so ruined, they thought, what the hey, let's just, drive on in. But I love that the Lord stirred them up, actually, we'll see that later, to go after his people so he could just annihilate them and they would have no power over them. So I praise him for that. Okay, our message this morning, I've titled it River of Delights, and you may recognize it. It's from our praise verse on day 2. It's when we looked at the river turned to blood, and we talked about that was their life source, that river. And so Psalm 36, 7 through 8 says, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. I love that. So our life source, of course, is one that can never go away. If you're in Christ, you have that life source forever and ever, and that is the living water of Jesus Christ. So reading this, I thought, okay, river of your delights. So I really just kind of ran through the concordance. We'll just touch the tip of the iceberg, but what delights the Lord? If the Lord is calling them delights, what delights him? So we're going to run through and just look. I put some scriptures up there I'm going to use, but you can do your own concordance search for delight or pleasure. That's kind of what I did. And just, it was so fun to see things that do, it either said it delights him or it pleases him. And so we can learn also from the antonym, what would not please him and what would not delight him. So in Ephesians 5:10, it actually says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And I thought, what a great way to live our day. Like, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is what I'm about to do pleasing to the Lord? If we lived like that, our lives would be really good. They would be it would be a lot of joy in a life like that. I'm not going to read all the verses, but Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, I'm going to go ahead and read through that one. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So I love that we can learn what delights him, and who doesn't want to serve a God who is love and justice and righteousness and allows us to boast in him. The greatest thing that can happen to us is to know him. And so that thrills me, those verses about knowing and understanding him, because apart from him, we wouldn't have. So we praise him for his Holy Spirit for opening our eyes. Okay, I'm going to just kind of run through these. Exodus 29, 25, he takes pleasure in the aroma of a sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15, 22, obedience. Psalm 51, 6, truth in the inward being. And that's one I've been chewing on, because I can stand up here and teach truth and talk about truth, but if I don't have truth in my inward parts, if I go home then and I'm believing lies and I'm not living out the truth, it's not doing a whole lot of good. So truth in the inward being. Psalm 147, 10, those who fear him, those who hope in his steadfast love. He loves that. Proverbs 8:30, wisdom. Not only does he delight in wisdom, he delights in sharing it with us, which is pretty huge. Proverbs 11:1, a just weight, because this comes from, you know, how they do unjust weights, a balance to make you pay more for something or make it look more valuable. So anything that's unjust does not delight him. He is very displeased with that, so we want to stay on the side of the just weight. Proverbs 11:20, those who are of blameless ways. Proverbs 12:22, those who act faithfully. And then Isaiah 42:1, Matthew 3:17, and a lot more, I didn't list them. He delights in his son, Jesus. He takes pleasure in him. Isaiah, and that's why, how we treat him matters. What we do with his son matters. And I think I've mentioned this in here before, but we just had the 4th of July, and, you know, probably any event you are at, and often at sporting events, they'll present someone from the military for everyone to honor and applaud and cheer. Could you imagine someone being honored? Maybe a father is there, and he has a son who lost his life fighting for the freedom of the country, and he's sitting in the stands, and his son is being honored for his sacrifice, and that person's not even paying attention, and that person's not going to stand up, and this person won't even, you know, and these people just won't stop talking. Imagine how that father feels. So that always makes me think, Lord, may we always honor your son and make much of him. I know that thrills the Lord, and it is right. Okay, Isaiah 42:21, he delights in magnifying his law and making it glorious. And that's really kind of what we get to do in here on Tuesday evenings, is make much of his word and allow him to glorify himself through it. Isaiah 62:1-4, replacing desolation with salvation in Zion, in Jerusalem. So that's, he loves, we've learned that. He's saying, give me whatever in your life is desolate, whatever desolation has hit you, give that to me, because then I can turn it into a well-watered garden and everyone will know that I am a God of life. And he looks for those places of desolation to reveal the wonder of what he can do with it. Psalm 35:27, in the welfare of his servant. He cares about our welfare. I mean, there's no greater one to serve. No one cares more about us than he does. Micah 7:18, steadfast love. 1 Chronicles 29:17, uprightness. Ezekiel 18:23, he takes pleasure when the wicked turn from their wicked ways and live. Yeah, that thrills him, and we pray along with him. We pray to him along those same lines, that the wicked would turn from their wicked ways and walk with him. And then Luke 12:32, he takes delight, gives him great pleasure to give his flock the kingdom. So when you're, I just love that. He takes pleasure to give us the kingdom. And then Philippians 2:13, he delights in working in us. And I've told you last week was kind of tough. This week I've been real emotional where it's hard not to cry. And I don't do that all the time. Somebody was sweet to share kind of sometimes, you know, you're healing for sure, but then it's not unusual for a wave of grief, another wave of grief to come and you cycle through that, you know. So I've been so emotional lately, but it hit me. That's why I love teaching right now, because by the time y'all are hearing the message, I've been going over it and enjoying it and needing to hear it and teaching, preaching to my own heart. And so to know that he takes delight to work in me, I know that even if I'm having a week where maybe I can't control my emotions, that's okay. He's going to work with me in that. He's going to be with me. He's working some things out. He's doing some things always in the good times and the hard. So I praise him for that. Then John 8:29, all things Jesus does, all things Jesus does pleases him. And Jesus said, I only do what pleases the Father. And I want to live like that. Could you imagine? I can't make it through a day where I could say, well, today, everything I did pleased the Father. Has not happened yet. I pray it might, maybe before I die, but hasn't happened yet. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then 1 Timothy 2:1-3, he takes delight and pleasure when we make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. So don't stop praying for leaders. Don't stop praying for those in authority. And then Hebrews 13:16, he delights in our doing good and sharing what we have. It made me think of Dorcas in the book of Acts. She was so loved for that. And then I want to share this because in the whole counsel of God, what delights him in this day and time, this is one that some churches would be like, don't mention that one, just stuff that one away. But in Deuteronomy 28, this is where God is telling the nation of Israel, if you will walk in my ways, I mean, verses and verses and verses of the blessings that would come upon them if they would just obey him. If they would obey him, he said his blessings would overtake them. I mean, they couldn't run away from him. They couldn't get away from him if they tried. But if they did not walk in his ways, verse after verse after verse of the curses that would come. So in Deuteronomy 28:63, it says, and as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you when they were walking in his ways, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you when you don't walk in his ways. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So woe to that nation that thinks they will just stay right where they are no matter what they do. Because God takes delight in showing what happens when people walk in his ways and what happens when they don't. And if he would love to use you an example of those that do, but if you're not, he can certainly use you an example of those who do not. And so we want to be sure that we're walking in his ways. And you know, when he does that, it's for mercy's sake. It's that people would understand and know and want to walk in his ways. It's always for mercy. It's always to bring people back. He's so gracious. So we're going to wrap it up by going through Psalm 46. So you can turn there if you'd like, or just listen. Psalm 46, again, with thoughts of the river of God, full of his delights, and that we get to drink from that. We'll just read this psalm together. Psalm 46. And it starts with a verse we've already looked at. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we talked about that. If you look at the Hebrew, it's like Superman coming in for Lois Lane. Like he's on it. When one of his sheep is in trouble, he's on it. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. That sounds terrifying. And yet this verse is saying, because God is our refuge and strength, we don't have to fear. And in scripture, mountains can represent nations, and waters can represent, seas can represent people. So I do believe we have a picture of what goes on over time. You have nations rise and you have nations fall. And you have nations moved and you have a lot. This world can be really chaotic. So when nations that you thought would never fall might fall, and then nations that you hoped would never rise up do, and things are just all over the place on this planet, you know, politically, etc., we won't fear because God is with us. And he's already shown us what to do. We just rely on him. He's in control. And we have to remind each other of that. He is in control. All right. The word Selah there, we usually say pause and just think on that. That's how we often use it. Just pause and calmly think about what you just read. It may also just be a musical thing, like what to do musically. The truth is we don't really know what that word means. So I use it when I see it. I do kind of pause and think about that. I really don't know what it's there for, but that it gives us kind of pause in that stanza. All right, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. So that's the river full of delight. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And verse 6, I love this. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. I was actually looking for that verse the other day. I wanted to put it in the study, and I couldn't remember. I couldn't find a word that was getting me to it. And it's such a drop the mic moment. It is such a moment where the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, and we're seeing mountains going into the sea. Everything's so crazy. He utters his voice, the earth melts. I just love that. So verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's the one who keeps us safe, and we are in him. I had earlier today, Jack and Bethany, Bethany's my daughter, they live in New York, and they were here actually for a wedding this weekend. And then we got to be here, they were here for the 4th as well, but they had to leave early Monday morning because he got his green card. He's from Australia. So he got his green card interview. And I don't know if it's COVID or what. I think it's COVID, but it has been excruciating for this man to get a green card. So, and his mother has been ill in Australia. It's just all things. He can't leave the country. There's a lot to it. So we have been praying for this green card. Well, they had the final interview, and it was supposed to finally happen. You know, you get your interview, you're done. Whoosh, finally get the green card. They got someone that was, I don't know what was wrong with her. You never know what's going on with someone. Very rude, saying mean things, just not nice at all. Finished by telling them, in 120 days, you'll get your next step. So they sent that message and were like, bummer, great. And as an American, I'm feeling bad Jack had that experience in our country, even though he loves our country. And so I actually had been texting with Susan Hooker. So as soon as I told her what had happened, she sent verses on, like we've looked at in here, how God's plan cannot be thwarted. Don't you love friends that send you verses? And I'm like, amen. So I did the rest of the day, I was just praying, Lord, this doesn't stop you. Would you just let it come? Would you let it come quick? And Bethany had even said, maybe it'll just come anyway. You know, well, by this afternoon, she gets an email that has already been mailed. So praise the Lord for that. Isn't that exciting? I know. I love it. And I know I needed it because some of the things I've been struggling with, needed him. I just praise him because he doesn't have to do this, but I praise him for a faith builder, you know, where he just says, it just reminds us, I have the plan and the plan will not be thwarted. So I praise him for that. Okay. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. And you kind of think, wait, we're going to get all fired up about desolations on the earth. Well, we kind of are in the book of Exodus. I'm getting kind of fired up about a God who will send plagues against an oppressive people who won't let his people go. So I tell you, he can bring desolation and he can bring blessing, and whichever he brings is perfect. It's exactly what needed to be brought. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And this is important because he alone can stop wars. Can you imagine humans? All these, world peace, cries for world peace with humans? Never going to happen. Until the Prince of Peace hits this planet, we're not going to have peace on the earth. It's not going to be one big happy family. But we know in Revelation 13 that when Antichrist rises up, they will say things like, who could make war with him? You know, we've got a one world this and a one world that. Who can make war with him? So those who are delusional and deceived, they'll just think it's fabulous. And, well, the reason you can't make war with him is because he's got all the weapons. And so you always want the person who's for freedom, who is good, that's who you want to have all the weapons. And I think it was Ronald Reagan, and he may have gotten it from someone else, but he used to say peace through strength. And that means you may be at a time of peace, and maybe there's not a nation out there about to attack you. You better use that time to strengthen your military like it's never been strengthened before. And keep the freedom-fighting countries the strongest. Because when the communist countries are the strongest, that's not a good thing. So I just love the idea that God alone can stop wars, and he will have the final say. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we've talked about this one, and I know that's, if you've been in the Word for a while, that's probably familiar to you. But, and if you've known me for more than a couple of weeks, you probably already heard me say this, but I had a while back, I was at the beach. This was years ago, and I was at the beach, and I was hoping to get some writing done, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get still. Nothing was flowing. Just couldn't do it, and I was getting a little frustrated, and I was also down there grieving because our country had passed, the Supreme Court had passed laws that are an abomination according to the Word of God, and the White House had been lit up like a rainbow, and so you had people celebrating. And let me tell you, if I didn't know the Word of God, I might have been celebrating with them. I'm not talking bad about people. I mean, I might have been cheering, oh, isn't this good, and we're all happy. But you get in the Word of God, and you go, oh, Lord, help us. You're calling this an abomination, and we're celebrating it. So I was very grieved about that. I think that's one of the reasons I couldn't really get going. So I started running that verse through my mind. Be still and know that he is God. I will be exalted in that. And I'm just running it through my mind. I'm running it through my mind. And I am not getting still. And I'm not getting still. And this, I'm sitting on the beach. And this little kid comes running up to his parents. And he actually is like all in and out of the water. You know, he can't get still either. And so they're telling him, you know, get over here, get over here. They come over and they say, be still. They sunscreen him. And they send him back out to frolic and play and all that. And I mean, of course, that just spoke volumes to me. And as soon as I saw it, and I felt, you know, the spiritual analogy of there, of actually getting still to allow God to work in our hearts, getting still to allow him to apply what needs to be applied, to do what needs to be done. And this is how I suddenly heard that verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And I felt a reprimand as if, did you think for 1 minute I wouldn't be? Do you think the lighting up of the White House is going to stop me from being exalted on this earth? I just praise him for that. So when I read that verse, I get excited that he is reminding us, don't you worry about a thing. I've got this. All right, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And again, Selah. But God being our fortress is everything. And he is calling his children to rely only on him and to learn what it means to have him as our fortress, to have him as our covering, to fear him, to love him, to walk in his ways so that we'll be safe. And we'll be safe spiritually, even if everything around us is busting loose. The song, some of y'all know Jill Wilbanks. She lives in Florida now, but she had a while back told me about this song. She had this person came to their church, Marty Goetz, I think is how you pronounce it, and he sings, but he uses scripture in his songs. So this one, she sent this, and it's just full of Psalm 46. So I thought, oh, that's the song I'm going to do. Well, I go to look up the song and pull it up and get it up on the, and the name of it is I Am. And I got so excited because that just so That's so perfect for our time in Exodus. So let's listen to this song and just worship I Am. And once the song is over, if you do want to pray out loud, please do. If not, no problem. We'll eventually close out and go right into discussion. So let's go ahead and worship him in song. Father, I just praise you that nothing is too hard for you. I just thank you so much that you give us assurance and then you give us reassurance and you know that we're but dust, and so you give us your word and your Holy Spirit to just grow our faith, show us what's true. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And I just pray now as we go into discussion that you will be honored and that you'll teach us. And Father, I thank you for how week after week I come away just learning and with things that just stay with me and that I need moving forward. So thank you for that, Lord. We just praise you ahead of time for the delights that you have waiting for us in our discussion time. Your river is full of delights, and you want us to drink of that. So we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.